Well, I'm definitely the second best Rothy on stage today. She did great. Reese did great. Give her a big hand. Good job, Reese. It's crazy to think about. In 2 weeks from today, we're going to celebrate our 15-year anniversary as a church. Now, as many of you know, Summer Blast is a really big deal around here. What many of you don't know is how it all got started. In 2014, Ashley Wietrich, who is now our next gen director, at that point in time, she was just our part-time Relevant Kids ministry leader, came to me and said, "Ronnie, I feel like God's been putting on my heart that we need to do vacation Bible school at Relevant." And I'm like, "No, he did not put that on your heart. I can promise you he didn't." Like, because I didn't like the whole idea of vacation Bible school. Like, what kid wants to go to school during the summer, you know? And the vacation Bible school, like, it sounds so, it's like churchy, and like I just didn't grow up with any of that, so I didn't. I was like, "No, he's not putting on your heart." She just kept consistent all year long, coming to me like, "Ron, I feel like God's putting this on her heart." Into the beginning of 2015, finally she wore me down, and I caved, and I'm like, "Fine, we can do vacation Bible school and try it out." I was completely convinced this thing was going to flop. In June of 2015, we rented out the Community of Grace building, which is now the Brookside Elkhorn campus, and we had our very first vacation Bible school, and here is what it looked like. About 60 kids attended. Half of them were kids of paid staff. It was a little bit ghetto, but we saw God transform kids' lives and attorneys that week, so we decided to do it again the next year. And then in 2016, we had more kids and more faith commitments, and we saw more transformation. So we decided at that point in time we were going to do it every single year. And then in 2018, we changed the name to Summer Blast because I just can't do the name Vacation Bible School. I know we got to name this thing something else. And it has become an amazing transformational week in kids' lives that every kid wants to get to, but getting your kids into is as hard as getting tickets to a Taylor Swift concert. Seriously, it's like in 15 minutes, you can't get kids in anymore after we open up signups. And the reason is because we're at max capacity here at the Relevant Center, which means we need more space and bigger spaces for our next-gen environments, and we'll talk more about that later this fall. But here's the crazy thing. Since 2015, 268 kids have put their faith in Jesus through Summer Blast. Like, isn't that amazing? Absolutely amazing. So in front of all you, I just want to speak to Ashley. Ashley, I was wrong. You were right. God was leading into it, and I'm so glad that we took that step. With our anniversary coming up, I've been thinking a lot about the past 15 years, about where we are as a church, about how we got here, about the future of Relevant, about how we'll get to where God wants us to be, about you, about how much I love our church. And man, I love our church. And I know so many of you do too. But you need to know that hasn't happened by accident. And I want to continue to be part of a church I love, and you do too, but you also need to know that won't happen by accident. After 15 years of being the pastor of Relevant, I'm convinced that to create a church you love requires commitment. It requires commitment from you, from me, from everyone. So, throughout this series, before we celebrate our anniversary together, I wanted to talk about that. Specifically, I wanted to talk about four commitments. Four commitments so many people have created over the past 15 years that have created a church that so many of us love today. Four commitments that will continue to create a healthy, transformational, God-glorifying church that you and others love to be a part of for many years to come. Over the past 2 weeks, we've talked about the commitments: be engaged and be connected. To create a church you love, you must be committed to be engaged in the mission of our church by serving on a team and be connected to a healthy, transformational, smaller community of people within the church. Today, I want to talk about the third commitment. And this commitment, this may be the one I'm most passionate about. And if you're not, I hope that changes before we leave today. The third commitment is to be a fanatic. Now, the definition of fanatic is to be filled with excessive and single-minded zeal. To create a church you love, you must be committed to being filled with excessive and single-minded zeal. Not about anything, not about everything, but about what's most important. And I'm convinced that what's most important is the faith of the next generation. Big idea for today is this. To create a church you love, you must be a fanatic about impacting the next generation for Jesus. You and I must be committed to being fanatic about reaching kids and students for Jesus and inspiring and empowering them to follow Jesus. I believe for you and I to truly say, I love my church, that you, that I, that all of us, young people and old people, must be committed to be a fanatic about impacting the next generation for Jesus. And the reason I believe that is, because there's nothing that excites any of us, regardless of our age, about being part of a church full of nothing but crotchety old people who are stuck in their ways and don't want anything to change, right? There's nothing that excites any of us about being part of a church where there are no young people, where there are more funerals than baptisms, where the most exciting thing that happens all year long is the annual potluck. Like, there's nothing excites us about being a part of a church where there's no energy, a church that isn't reaching people for Jesus, a church with an empty nursery, a church that is literally dying physically and spiritually. But when you hear stories of young people putting their faith in Jesus and getting baptized and taking next steps to follow Jesus and impacting their friends for Jesus and being transformed, it stirs your heart, doesn't it? I mean, think about it for a second. What fills you with excitement, what makes your heart come alive, what makes you celebrate, what fills us with praises to God, what makes you love your church is seeing 160 middle school and high school students go to summer camp this year, is hearing that 31 kids and students have been baptized over the last month here at Relevant, is knowing that we're investing in over 1,000 kids and students every week through our four next-gen environments, Sprouts, Relevant Kids, Rooted, and Youth United, is watching 131 middle school and high school students serve down in Sprouts, Relevant Kids, and Rooted, is knowing that 40% of our church is under the age of 18, is seeing Rooted, our middle school ministry, have to start doing their weekly environment right here in the auditorium instead of across the hall in the theater because they're reaching so many middle school students. Is seeing students in the front worshiping God with raised hands. Is hearing that there were 400 kids at Summer Blast this year. Is knowing that 46 kids put their faith in Jesus at Summer Blast this year. Is seeing Summer Blast with your own eyes. Take a look.
One thing that I love about Summer Blast is just seeing the kids get excited about worshiping Jesus. There is nothing better than great worship music, lights, and dancing. It is my favorite part. We had one girl yesterday who chose to put her faith in Jesus, and just seeing them take that next step towards following Jesus and growing in their faith is just something that makes my heart just burst.
I think that I love just seeing the kids in a different element. I teach Relevant Kids all year long, and it's a little bit more of a serious environment, I guess, and this is just more of a fun environment.
I've seen God move in some awesome ways in my group. We've got 10 kiddos, and to just see God, meet them where they are, and to see them have encounters with the Lord this week, even got to see one little guy in my group put his faith in Jesus, and it just doesn't get any better than that.
I mean, I live in Lincoln, which is far away, but it is so worth it every single week to come back, and for things like this, I'm just overjoyed to be a part of that experience. I mean, it has such a huge impact in these kids' lives. To just be able to be a part of that is such a blessing.
It is so sweet to see them cheering each other on and just encouraging each other in this space. It's really special.
Oh, 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 oh. become the party starter, but you also become the church. And remember, the church is not some physical building where you walk into on Sundays. The church that you're a part of is a movement of people. And it's a movement of people who want to share the light of Jesus. It's a movement of people who change the world. And do you know why you change the world? Because Jesus has done a changing work in you.
I love everything about Summer Blast. I love seeing the students learn about Jesus and seeing them so eager to worship him. It's just literally like the most transformational week.
Yeah. Man, you see things like that, it makes your heart come alive, doesn't it? When you see things like that, you can't help but say, I love my church. But the main reason we need to be committed to being fanatics about impacting the next generation for Jesus is not primarily about us. The main reason is because the faith of the next generation is a really big deal to God. Impacting the faith of the next generation is and always has been one of God's number one priorities for his people. And we see that very clearly in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. The events of Deuteronomy happened over 1,000 years before the events of the life of Jesus. However, hundreds of years before Deuteronomy was ever written, as part of God's redemptive plan for all humanity, God chose to bless the world through the Hebrew people, who became known as the Israelites, who became known as the Jews. 2,000 years before Jesus walked the earth, God promised the Hebrew people that they would be his people and he would be their God. And part of that promise was that he would give them their own land, referred to as the Promised Land. Well, the problem was, for 400 years, the Israelites found themselves as slaves in Egypt. But finally, after 400 years, God sent a man named Moses to deliver them from slavery and lead them to the Promised Land. After Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt through what can only be described through a series of supernatural events, God gave them 600 plus laws and commands for how to live as his chosen people. This is known as the Mosaic Law. And if you were to narrow down what God was trying to communicate through the Mosaic Law, it was this: trust and obey. Trust me and obey me. Trust and obey. And he gave a promise and a consequence with that. He's like, hey, if you trust and obey me, I will bless you in such a way that people know, that the world will know that you are the people of the one true God. But if you don't, as my people, I will discipline you. Well, the Israelites' faith in God started off strong, but didn't take long for them not to trust and obey. So instead of taking them immediately to the Promised Land, God led them to the desert, to the worst place imaginable on earth. They didn't know what they would eat. They didn't know what they would drink. They didn't know how they would survive. They were utterly helpless and completely dependent upon God for everything, which was the whole point of God leading them there. God led them to the desert and kept them there for 40 years to teach them to trust him alone, to prove that he could be trusted to provide for their every need, and he would if they just trusted and obeyed. Well, after 40 years in the desert, they learned to trust and obey. Their faith in God was transformed. They developed unwavering faith in God, and now they were ready to enter into the Promised Land. But before they did, Moses gathered everyone together one final time to remind them of a few things. And the book of Deuteronomy is essentially the speech that he gave to the people. Moses begins this speech by recounting the journey, their journey, and reminding them of the covenants that God has made with them and they've made with God. Then in chapter 6, he abruptly switched his focus and addressed how they would need to become intent about transferring their faith to the next generation. Moses knew too much was at stake to let this fall by the wayside, so it was one of the very first things he addressed. And here's what he said to them. Hear, which means listen and don't forget. Hear, O Israel. Now, because there's so much language about children that follows, it's so easy to assume that Moses was only talking to parents here. But Moses was speaking to all of Israel. He says, hear, O Israel. He's talking to every parent and everyone else in the community. Single people, married people, young people, old people, poor people, wealthy people, related people, non-related people. And what he says, we're to find out, is true for us. As God's people, as the body of Christ, as the church, we together are all responsible for what follows here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. It's as if Moses is saying, everything I have said and everything I will say hinges on this one essential truth, that our God is God and the next generation's relationship with him and faith in him is what's most important. And because of that, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you to be upon your hearts. And this statement to all of Israel was so important. Not only for their faith, not only for their transformation, but for the faith of the next generation. And I'm going to come back to why in just a little bit. And here's what Moses said. Impress, which means diligently train and teach. Impress them, referring to God's laws and commands, on your children, on all the Israelite children, on all the next generation. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. It's Moses saying, put the Lord your God front and center every day in every way. Completely surround your children, the next generation, with his ways, his truths, his promises, and his commandments. He goes on. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore your fathers to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob to give you, a land filled with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. And when you eat and are satisfied, this is Moses saying, in the future, when you're enjoying everything God has given you that you did not provide in the promised land, and then you get comfortable, don't become complacent. Instead, be careful that you do not forget the Lord. Your faith is most important, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Bottom line being this, Moses seems determined here to ensure that the next generation of Israelites had a faith as practical and as dynamic as the current generation. He also seems to be making the point that it really doesn't matter what the next generation has if they don't have what's most important. It doesn't really matter what the next generation has if they don't have what's most important. So Moses said, don't forget. Don't forget. Don't become complacent and forget what's most important to God for the next generation to have. And listen, over time, it's so easy to start thinking the most important thing for the next generation to have is houses filled with all kinds of good things, wells, vineyards. Fast forward to today, playing on the right team, attending that particular college, having a successful career, making great money, living in a certain type of neighborhood, being satisfied and happy. And in our pursuit of making those things what's most important for the next generation, we can threaten what will make the next generation truly come alive. We can settle for something far less significant than what God has for them. We can sacrifice their faith in God. Listen, all of those things I just mentioned may be of some importance, but they are not what's most important. Moses knew what was most important to God was for the next generation to have unwavering faith in him, to trust and obey. And Moses also knew that wouldn't happen by accident, and that the Israelites' faith in God wouldn't automatically be what was most important to future generations. It took 40 years in the desert for the Israelites that Moses is addressing to develop the unwavering faith in God they now have. So before they enter the promised land, Moses takes a moment to speak to all of them. He says, listen, what's most important to God is the next generation having faith in him as their one and only God. So become fanatics about transferring your faith to them. Become fanatics about it because the faith of the next generation is absolutely dependent upon it. The faith of the next generation is a really big deal to God. So it must be for us as the church, as the body of Christ as well. If you're new around Relevant, here's what you need to know about us. What you need to know about Relevant Community Church is that we are fanatics about impacting the next generation for Jesus. We're fanatics about reaching kids and students for Jesus, inspiring and empowering them to follow Jesus so that they're transformed into everything God's created them to be by Jesus. We care more about this than anything else. It's what we want to be known for. It's one of what we want to be most successful at as a church. And we, listen, values, all values are important, but some values are just more important than others. And this is what we value most as a church. And because we value this most as a church, it's a key part of our strategy. So we invest heavily into our kids and student ministries. We're fanatics about impacting the next generation for Jesus because statistics show that 30% of teenagers said they felt completely hopeless and had suicidal ideation at some point over the past year. Well, Jesus is the hope that they need. We're fanatics about impacting the next generation for Jesus because 9 out of 10 drug addicts start experimenting with drugs as teenagers. Well, Jesus is the deliverer they need. We're fanatics about impacting the next generation for Jesus because the second leading cause of death among 15 to 24 year olds is suicide. Jesus is the life that they need. We're fanatics about impacting the next generation for Jesus because the future of the church and the future of our church is dependent upon it. We're fanatics about impacting the next generation for Jesus because 93% of every single person who ends up putting their faith in Jesus does so before the age of 18. Let that sink in for a quick second. We're fanatics about impacting the next generation for Jesus because the faith of the next generation is dependent upon it. Like the Israelites, we're stewards of the faith. We're stewards of the faith of the next generation. Whatever faith they develop now is going to be carried over into adulthood. If they develop a faith now that is weak and shallow and immature and irrelevant, they will carry that into adulthood. The faith they develop now better be able to stand firm through pain, hardship, suffering, disappointment, questions, and doubt. Because if it can't, they will likely leave their faith behind. Or worse, develop a version of faith that isn't moving them toward following Jesus, thus will prevent them from being transformed into everything God's created them to be by Jesus. We're responsible for the version of faith and the perception of church that the next generation takes into the next season of their life. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for us to create a love for Jesus and his church within them. At Relevant, we live and die by the conviction that the faith of the next generation is worth everything. It's worth whatever it may cost us. Therefore, as a church, we're fanatics about impacting the next generation for Jesus. And when you see it happening, when we're truly reaching kids and students for Jesus, when kids and students are actually being inspired and empowered to follow Jesus, when young people are truly being transformed more into everything God's created them to be, you can't help but say, I love my church. But here's the reality. We can't be fanatics without all of we as a church can't impact the next generation for Jesus without all of we being committed to it. So for those of you who say that Relevant is your church, will you help? Will you commit to do whatever it takes to impact the faith of the next generation? I hope you say yes, because you want to be part of a church you love. And to create a church you love, you must be a fanatic about impacting the next generation for Jesus. The question is how? How can you, how can I, how can all of us be committed to being a fanatic? Well, let me start answering that question by talking to all the adults. And how I'm defining adult is everyone out of high school. College age, those in your 20s, those in your 90s, those starting your careers, those ending your careers, engaged people, married people, single people, divorced people, empty nesters, those with kids, those without kids, all the adults. I want to challenge you to do for the next generation what you wish the previous generation did for you. Do for the next generation what you wish the previous generation did for you by being a fanatic about impacting the next generation for Jesus. Be a fanatic by giving generously and sacrificially. Come on, I shouldn't even have to talk about this. It takes an enormous amount of money to create, operate, and run the ministries, environments, events, and camps that reach kids and students for Jesus and inspires them and empowers them to follow Jesus. It takes an enormous amount of money to recruit and train effective small group leaders and communicators. It takes an enormous amount of money to provide tools and resources for parents, for students struggling with mental health, for kids trying to navigate through divorce, tools and resources to help kids and students grow in their relationship with Jesus. It takes an enormous amount of money to provide environments where students can feel safe and loved. It takes an enormous amount of environments to have the paid staff to lead all of this. 9 out of our 24 paid staff work in our next gen department. And come on, it takes an enormous amount of money for the Relevant Center to be used as an effective tool to impact the next generation. As I said before, 40% of our church is under the age of 18, which means they can't possibly fund all of that. Because they're kids and students who make very little money, if any money. And that means the other 60% of us, the adults, we need to do it. It's up to us. There is no Sprouts to impact kids birth through pre-K for Jesus without all of us giving. There is no Relevant Kids for us to impact kids K through fifth grade for Jesus without all of us giving. There is no Rooted for us to impact middle school students for Jesus without all of us giving. There is no Youth United for us to impact high school students for Jesus without all of us giving. The faith of the next generation is worth everything. So be a fanatic to impact the next generation for Jesus by giving, not sparingly. Not sporadically. I need you to have a strategic plan to give generously and sacrificially because the faith of the next generation is worth whatever it may cost you and me. Secondly, be a fanatic about impacting the faith of the next generation by sacrificing your preferences. Come on, adults. We all have preferences. Style of music, how long we want to sing, preaching style, how loud it is, what we'd like the Relevant Center to be used for, how money gets spent, events we would like more of, events we would like less of, what you'd like me to address more of, what you'd like me to address less of. And come on, we can't make the mistake of sacrificing the next generation's faith on the altar of all of our preferences. Since the faith of the next generation is worth everything, it's worth sacrificing our preferences for whatever is going to be most beneficial to help transform them into everything God's created them to be. Third, be a fanatic about impacting the faith of the next generation for Jesus by following Jesus yourself. Right before Moses instructed the Israelites about impacting the faith of the next generation, he said something of significant importance to them about their own faith. You remember what he said? Here's what he said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Moses was explaining that it had to be in them before they could ever expect it to be in the next gen. If we want to lead the next generation toward Jesus, we must be following Jesus first. Your and my relationship with Jesus will impact the faith of the next generation more than you and I will ever know, because the next generation has a front row seat to our lives. The question is, what are they watching? What are they watching? Are they seeing the type of faith in you that you and your heavenly Father wants them to have? Are they seeing what being a follower of Christ really means and truly looks like? Are they seeing Christ in you? Are they seeing you being more transformed than everything God's created you to be because you're actively following Jesus? If we want the next generation to have it in them, they have to see it in us first. The faith of the next generation is worth everything. So be a fanatic about impacting the next generation for Jesus by actively following Jesus one next step at a time. And my last challenge to all the adults is not for all of you, but it's definitely for some of you. And that is, be a fanatic about impacting the next generation for Jesus by serving in a next gen ministry. For some of you, this is how Jesus is inviting you to do what we talked about in part one of this series. Be engaged. To be engaged in operating as a fully functioning member of the body of Christ. To be engaged in the mission of our church. Sprouts, Relevant Kids, Rooted, and Youth United are all growing because we continue to reach more kids and students. But it doesn't matter if we can't invest in them, can't love them, can't positively influence them, and can't inspire and empower them to follow Jesus. And that takes many, 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 many of us. There's many different serving opportunities in all four of these ministries, from holding babies, to running production, to helping at events, to being a greeter, to setting up and tearing down for environments, to doing social media, to helping do administration work, to being on the safety team, to being a small group leader, who, by the way, I believe are our most important spiritual leaders in young people's lives. And here's why. Studies show that by the time a person is 18 years old, they have had 6 influential voices in their lives, other than their parents, that have shaped them into who they are. This is why at Relevant, we're committed to try to get every child and teenager into a small group with a small group leader who is one of those 6. A small group leader who is a fanatic about impacting their faith, about inspiring and empowering them to follow Jesus, who will love them, who will be a trusted person for that kid or student to share with, who's an example of Christ to them, who is there for them, who is helping lead them toward Jesus. The faith of the next generation is worth everything. So for some of you, not for all of you, but for some of you, you need to be a fanatic about impacting the next generation for Jesus by serving either in Sprouts, Relevant Kids, Rooted, or Youth United. And the good news is you can take that next step today by signing up for TeamLink. I talked about this in part one of the series. TeamLink is a one-hour event to learn about the different teams here at Relevant and learn how to take a next step to engage in those teams. You're not committing to anything signing up for TeamLink. All you're doing is committing 1 hour of your time. TeamLink's in 2 weeks from today on August 25th at 2 p.m. You can sign up on the app. You can sign up on the website. If you're in the room, you can go to the next step area. They can answer your questions out there and help you sign up. But before I wrap this up to adults, I do want to say to those of you who are serving in our next gen ministries, thank you. Thank you. Regardless of your small group leader, you help run production, set up, thank you. Thank you for being a fanatic about impacting the next generation for Jesus. Thank you for impacting my kids for Jesus. God is using you to help transform the lives, the eternities, and the faith of the next generation. Adults, to create a church you love, you must be a fanatic about impacting the next generation for Jesus. So be committed to being a fanatic. Now, before we wrap up, I want to talk specifically to middle school students and high school students. Throughout the last few weeks of this series, we discovered that the church is a people who are the body of Christ, called to be Jesus' hands and feet. Middle school students, high school students, and listen to me. You are a part of we as much of the adults. You're a part of we as much of the adults, which means we as a church impacting the next generation for Jesus is as much your responsibility as it is ours. Maybe even more, because you are the next generation. We can't impact the next generation for Jesus without the next generation being committed to it too. You are a part of we as much as the adults. And that means to create a church you love, you gotta be a fanatic about impacting the faith of the next generation as well. And there's so many things I wanted to challenge you with today for how to be a fanatic, but I don't have time, so I'm going to close by quickly challenging you to commit to three things, and here they are. First, attend. Prioritize middle school students attending Rooted, high school students attending Youth United, because that's where you're exposed to practical biblical teaching, are inspired and empowered to take next steps to follow Jesus so that you can be transformed into everything God's created you to be by Jesus. And we need you to be more transformed into everything God's created you to be in order for us as a church to impact the next generation for Jesus, because transform people. The more you're transformed, the more likely your friends who don't know Jesus, your siblings, and other kids and students who are part of Relevant are going to be transformed as well. Second, connect. Be connected. Talked about this last week, middle school students to Rooted small group, high school students to a YU small group, and be fully committed, remember this from last week, be fully committed to create a healthy transformational community with the other students in that small group. It's your responsibility. And be fully committed to that, because you need others to follow Jesus and others need you as well. And here's my third, serve down. Middle school students, serve down in Sprouts. High school students, serve down in Sprouts, Relevant Kids, or Rooted. Serve down because people younger than you think you are the coolest. They think you are way cooler than us old people. And that means you have the potential to impact the next generation, the next generation younger than you, in ways that, in so many more ways than us old people. I also encourage you to serve down because the impact of serving, it transforms you. Serve down because it will make you love your church. Both of my girls, I have an 18-year-old, 16-year-old, both of my girls serve down. They have for years. Chrissy and I didn't make them do it. They wanted to do this. They've served down for years. And you saw Reese up here earlier. I just want to talk about my oldest, Grace, for a second. Grace has served down as a small group leader in Relevant Kids and in Rooted for years and years and years. Grace just graduated high school. For years, she has served down in Relevant Kids and Rooted. And listen, God has used that to transform her. He's used it to transform her into who she is as a follower of Christ today. But he's done some other stuff through it as well. He's used her serve down to transform her heart and her future. Toward the beginning of her senior year, Grace came to Christy and I and said, I think God's calling me into ministry. And we're like, you should rethink that. Like, go back and pray about that. I think he's calling me, and specifically, God's calling me into children's ministry. And she is convinced of that. And she's decided she wants to go to Bible college, and so she's going to Ozark Christian College, and this week we go drop her off 6 hours away in Joplin, Missouri. I'm convinced that's going to be the worst day of my life driving back. So man, her serve down has transformed her life, it's transformed her heart. But listen, come on, middle school, high school students, listen. It's also transformed her love for her church. And she loves her church, and it's because of this. Not because I'm the pastor. Trust me. The thing that Grace is saddest about leaving is leaving her church. She's super sad about leaving her Relevant Kids small group and her Rooted small group. And Grace will tell you that today she hopes and prays in 4 years when she graduates that God calls her back to Relevant Community Church and there's a job for her here so that she can give her whole life to this church because she loves her church. Serving down has transformed her life. Serving down has helped create a church she loves. Serving down is the reason she loves her church. Grace now understands, because she chose to serve down, she understands what the church is because she experienced it. She knows that the church is not a product to be consumed. Young people, the church is not a product to be consumed. The church is a people who are the body of Christ, of which you are a vital part of. Not someday, but what? Today. Today. So, my question for everyone who wants to, who's a part of this church and who wants to be part of a church they love is, what next step is Jesus inviting you? Adults, what next step is Jesus inviting you? Middle school students, high school students, what next step is Jesus inviting you to take to be a fanatic about impacting the next generation for Jesus? Whatever that next step is, I want to invite you to be committed to take it. Take it, because the faith of the next generation is worth everything. It's worth whatever it may cost us. Take it. Take it, but because to create a church you love, you and I must be a fanatic about impacting the faith of the next generation. Pray with me. Dear Lord, I just thank you that through our church body, we've been able to be a part of this, Lord, and that you've given us this heart. And Lord, we just want to be part of it more and more in the future and impacting as many kids and students for Jesus as possible. And so, Lord, I pray that we individually and collectively take whatever next step you'd have us take. We take it in a posture of surrender and trust and obedience. And God, use that in amazing ways to impact the faith of the next generation for Jesus, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.